He thought that by starting out again with the lumber as soon as he had finished his dinner, he might get back to the farm with the glue before Jotham and the old sorrel had had time to fetch Zenobia from the flats. But he knew the chance was a slight one. It turned on the state of the roads and on the possible lateness of the Bettsbridge train. He remembered afterward, with a grim flash of self-derision, what importance he had attached to the weighing of these probabilities. As soon as dinner was over, he set out again for the woodlot, not daring to linger till Jotham Powell left. The hired man was still drying his wet feet at the stove, and Ethan could only give Matty a quick look as he said beneath his breath, "I'll be back early." He fancied that she nodded her comprehension, and with that scant solace, he had to trudge off through the rain. He had driven his load halfway to the village when Jotham Powell overtook him, urging the reluctant sorrel toward the flats. "I'll have to hurry up to do it," Ethan mused, as the sleigh dropped down ahead of him over the dip of the schoolhouse hill. He worked like 10 at the unloading, and when it was over, hastened on to Michael Edie's for the glue. Edie and his assistant were both down street, and young Dennis, who seldom deigned to take their place, was lounging by the stove with a knot of the golden youth of Starkfield. They hailed Ethan with ironic compliment and offers of conviviality. But no one knew where to find the glue. Ethan, consumed with the longing for a last moment alone with Matty, hung about impatiently while Dennis made an ineffectual search in the obscure corners of the store.
"Looks as if we were all sold out. But if you'll wait around till the old man comes along, maybe he can put his hand on it."
"I'm obliged to you, but I'll try if I can get it down at Mrs. Homan's," Ethan answered, burning to be gone. Dennis's commercial instinct compelled him to aver an oath that what Edie's store could not produce would never be found at the Widow Homan's. But Ethan, heedless of this boast, had already climbed to the sledge and was driving on to the rival establishment. Here, after considerable search and sympathetic questions as to what he wanted it for, and whether ordinary flour paste wouldn't do as well if she couldn't find it, the Widow Homan finally hunted down her solitary bottle of glue to its hiding place in a medley of cough lozenges and corset laces.
"I hope Zena ain't broken anything she set store by," she called after him as he turned the grays toward home.